It's been about 1900 years since Rabbi Akiva was in the world. But I often think of Rabbi Akiva as someone who's tremendously influential in our world today. And I think that when we study the legacy of Rabbi Akiva, and we study his messages, in many ways I think they're probably even more relevant today than they were close to 2,000 years ago when he shared some of his ideas. So tonight I want to explore one of Rabbi Akiva's perspectives, a perspective on tshuva. Try to understand the worldview of Rabbi Akiva, his outlook. And we begin with the Gemara in Maseches Machlos. The Gemara that concludes Maseches Machlos, a famous adventure of several Tanayim, and the perspective that each of them shared. The Gemara says, V'kvar hayi Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Lazar ben Azariah, Rabbi Yoshua, this group of great tzaddikim, Rabbi Gamliel, Rabbi Lazar ben Azariah, Rabbi Yoshua, and Rabbi Akiva, were mahalchin b'derech. They were traveling on the road. And they heard the Kol Hamona Shalromi. They heard this awesome noise in the distance of the Roman legions. And they heard it at a great distance, Berichuk Meya Ve'esrim Mil, 120 miles away. V'yischilu Bochen. And the tzaddikim started to cry. Rabbi Akiva Masachik. And Rabbi Akiva, he smiled, he laughed. Amru Lo Mepnei Ma'ata Masachik. They said, Rabbi Akiva, what are you rejoicing over? Amr lahem v'atem b'pnei ma'atem bochen. What are you crying about? Amr lo. So he said, Rabbi Akiva, what don't you understand? Listen to the power of Rome. Listen how powerful they are that from 120 miles away you can hear the celebrations of Rome. And they said, halalu kushim shemishtachavim la'atzavim akatrim lavodas kochavim. These idol worshippers who worship all sorts of silliness, Yoshin Betach Vahashkit. And look how they live with tranquility. Va'anu and us, who believe in the true God, Beis Hadom Ragle Alokenu Saruf Be'ish V'lo Nivka. The house of God, the footstool of God in this world, the Beis HaMikdash, is burnt. And we shouldn't cry. Amr Lahan, Lakachani Metzachik, Rabbi Akiva said, it's for that very reason. Rome's success is the very reason I rejoice. Umal over the Rasono Kach. If people who rebel against God are able to enjoy such success, so imagine what it's going to be like when HaKadosh Baruch Hu rewards La'osei Ritzono Al'achas Kama V'Kama. Those of us who do and live a life of Torah and mitzvos, imagine how great our reward is going to be. If this is what the bad guys get, imagine what Klal Yisrael are going to get when the time comes. And Rabbi Akiva says, I find comfort in that. Shuv Pa Ma'achas, the Gemara tells the second story, the more famous story. Hayu Olin Lirushalayim, they were same group of Tanayim were traveling, Rabbi Gamliel, Rabbi Lazar ben Azariah, Rabbi Yeshua, and Rabbi Akiva. They came to Yerushalayim. Kevan Shigiu Laharat Sofim, when they came to Mount Scopus, Karu Bigdayim, they tore their clothing. Kevan Shigiu Laharabayis, when they came to Harabayis, they saw a fox, Rabbi Shual, Shiatsmi Beis Kodshe Akadashim. Hischilein Bochim, they all began to cry, Rabbi Akiva Metzachik, and Rabbi Akiva's laughing. Laughing at a fox roaming the Holy of Holies? Amru lo mepnei ma'atam etzachik. Amru lahem mepnei ma'atam bochen. What are you crying about? Amru lo, they said to Rabbi Akiva, makum shekasubo, the place that it says at the beginning of Chumash Bamidbar, v'hazar hakarev yumas, the place where a foreigner is not allowed to go. Kodesh Kadashim is reserved for Kohen Gadol once a year on Yom HaKippurim. And now a fox is just roaming freely the Temple Mount, wandering in and out of the Kodesh Kadashim. We not cry. Rabbi Akiva explained to them very famously, and this is why I left. Rabbi Akiva said there were two prophecies, the prophecy of Uriah Kohen and Zachariahu ben Yevercho. And Uriah predicted the Chorban, and Zachariah predicted Geula. And Rabbi Akiva says, until I saw the Chorban before my eyes, I wasn't sure if the prophecy of Geula would come true. But now that I see that the Beis HaMikdash is really desecrated, now I believe that the prophecy of Zechariah will also come true. And of course, the Gemara famously concludes where it's bolded, B'loshon hazeh amru lo, Akiva nichamtanu, Akiva nichamtanu. Rabbi Akiva, you've comforted us. You've given us perspective on a fox roaming around in the Kodesh Kadashim. And that's how Maseches Makos ends. Hadron Allah Maseches Makos. That's how Maseches Makos ends. I begin with this Gemara because the Lubavitcher Rebbe, Rabbi Nachum Mendel Schneerson, Zecher Tzadik Levracha, spoke on two different occasions, a siyum that took place in 1974 in honor of his father's yard site, a siyum that took place in 1982 in honor of his mother's yard site, And tonight's shiur comes from those two siyumim, from the Lubavitcher Rebbe. He's going to take us into the world of Rabbi Akiva and really unlock for us the depth of this Gemara, and he's going to explain to us what Yom Kippur is really all about. We have a rule from the Talmud Yerushalmi. It appears in Maseches Peah that Shmuel taught us, Ein lemeidin lo min ha'alachos v'lo min ha'agados v'lo min ha'tosafos ela min ha'talmud. We don't learn halacha from Mishnayos. We don't learn it from the stories of the Gemara. We don't learn it from the Tosefos. We learn it from the Talmud. We only learn halacha from the Gemara itself. This is an agarata. This is the Haggadus. Ein lemeidin halacha from a story. That's in a halachic sense. But many tzaddikim would look at the stories of the Gemara, the agaratas, and they. But there is a halacha here. Halacha maybe in the sense not of a halacha in Shulchan Aruch, but halacha in the sense of halichos olam lam. That when we study these stories deeply, we come to recognize that there's a lot of really practical value to analyzing these stories. It's not just a historical account to be glossed over. And the more we appreciate the depth of this agarata and why Rabbi Akiva saw things the way that he saw them, the more we'll be able to understand how to halacha, how to live our lives. The avoda of these days is tshuva, and tshuva is primarily defined, certainly in the context of these days, as vidui. The Rambam begins in Hilchos Tshuva in source number 3. The Rambam says, of all the mitzvahs of the Torah, whether it's a mitzvah saseh, whether it's a mitzvah lo saseh, if a person violates a commandment, you fail to do what you're supposed to do, you did what you weren't supposed to do, whatever type of avera you have, says the Rambam in the second line, kishiyase tshuva v'yashuv mechato chayiv lizvados. When you want to do tshuva, you need to do something called vidui. And tonight we're going to learn, from Rabbi Akiva's perspective, what does vidui look like? The Rambam says, when a person wants to do tshuva, there's an obligation to do vidui, to confess before the Creator of the world. Lefnei hakel baruch hu shenemar ish o isha ki yasu, if we do an avera, vizvadu es chata sam asher yasu. We confess before HaKadosh Baruch Hu for that which we've done. Ze vidui dvarim, this is confession, verbal confession, and vidui ze mitzvah sasei. And this verbal confession is a mitzvah. Is tshuva a mitzvah? It's a discussion whether or not tshuva is a mitzvah. Maybe vidui, confession, is the mitzvah. We sometimes think tshuva is this like abstract thing. I don't know where to start. I don't know what to do. The Rambam gives us a step-by-step guide of how to do tshuva. He says the goal is to get to vidui. It starts, says the Rambam, in source number 4, in the second parak of Hilchos Tshuva. The Rambam says, mahi tshuva? How do you do tshuva? Okay, this is halacha lemaisa. First of all, abandon the avera. Stop doing the bad thing that you're doing. Take it out of your mind. And commit yourself in your heart that I'm never going to do it again. As the Pasuk says, Ya'azov Rasha Darko, abandon your evil ways. And then, says the Rambam, Yisnachem al Sha'avar, regret that which you've done. So I have to stop doing it. I have to commit not to do it again. I have to feel badly over the fact that I've done it. And then says the Rambam, where it's bolded in source 4, Vitzarech lizvados bisvasov. A person needs to have the courage to have the conversation with God. It's hard. It hurts. Can't just take place in your head. You got to talk it out. Vilomer in yanos elu shagar belibo. And talk out all of the things that you've concluded in your heart. All of those decisions to change. That I regret what I've done. That I'm not going to do it again. Talk that out with Hashem. Say it to Hashem. Say it to His face. Talk to Hashem. This verbal component, this confession, again, is the essence of tshuva. That's true all year round. Even more so on Yom Kippur. The whole day is vidui. From beginning to end, the whole day of Yom Kippur is just vidui and vidui and vidui and vidui. Slichos also has a lot of vidui. But certainly Yom HaKippurim, says the Rambam, continuing in source number 5 in the second chapter of Hilchos Tshuva, Yom HaKippurim, whose man tshuva lakol liyachad v'larabim. Yom Kippur is the day of tshuva. You can do tshuva and you should do tshuva every day of the year. But if there's one day that's the official day of tshuva for individuals and for the tzibur, it's Yom HaKippurim. V'hu keitz mechila uslicha liyisrael. And this is it. This is when everything's on the table. This is the last opportunity. Mechila, slicha, it's all on the table before you. Lefichach. So if this is the day of tshuva, says the Rambam, what's the day going to look like? A lot of vidui. Therefore, the day is spent engaged in tshuva through the medium of vidui. U mitzvas vidui yom kippurim. How do we do it? First, you're already doing vidui before it's even Yom Kippur. Right? Before you sit down to have your meal, which is going to lead you into Yom Kippur, do vidui. God forbid a person should choke during that meal and die without having had the opportunity to do vidui. So we do vidui already before Yom Kippur. Then you do vidui again. You have the conversation again at Maariv. Then you have the conversation again at Shachris, and then again at Musa, and then again at Mincha, and then again at Ne'ilah. The whole day is Vidui. V'heichan misvada. And the Rambam says, and where do we insert the Vidui into the davening? And he tells us where we do it, both in the private Shemona Esrei and in the communal Chazaras Hashatz. So the day of Yom Kippur, the Yom HaKadosh that we're preparing for, is a day of Tshuva, but it's a day of Vidui. So we have to know what vidui looks like. Rabbi Akiva is about to teach us. Rabbi Akiva is about to teach us. We're going to learn a deep sugya tonight. Rabbi Akiva is going to teach us what should vidui look like. How do you do vidui? And I want to focus on a specific question. When I'm confessing before the Creator of the world, should I specify the details of my sins? Now again, I'm not asking you what we're actually going to do, what your machshir is going to tell you to do. We're learning shitas Rabbi Akiva. It may be a little different than all of the al-khayr, with all the details. Let's see what Rabbi Akiva has to say. Even if our machshir will guide us in a slightly different path, Rabbi Akiva's perspective is extremely important. Should one detail the averos that you've done? Should one go into the prate pratim of every little thing that you've done? Or should, when doing vidui, should one keep their words brief? Where does our al-chetz come from? Who was metakin our al-chetz? I have no idea. Could be. I don't know. Anyone know? Who made the al-chetz? Maybe the Gaonim? I'm not sure. Okay. Well, there's a machlokas, Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira and Rabbi Akiva. It appears in the Talmud Yerushalmi and in the Talmud Bavli. A machlokas, should one specify the reverse? Says Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira on source number 6, Tani, the Talmud Yerushalmi in Maseches Yoma, Tzarech lifrot es maisav. You need to get into the nitty-gritty details of what you did wrong. Be honest. It makes sense to us. You want to come clean? Don't just gloss over sort of the big picture of what you did. Get into the details. It's going to hurt, but that's tshuva. Tzarech lifrot es maisav. You need to get into the details of what you've done. Divrei Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira. Rabbi Akiva Omer, Eino tzarech lifrot es maisav. I know he says eino tzarech, you don't need to, but the way that the Achronim understand it is that you're not supposed to. And we'll see that comes clear over the course of this year, hopefully. Eino tzarech lifrot es maisav. One may not. One does not have permission to go into the details of what one did wrong. Ask the Gemara, my time of Rabbi Yehuda. In the Talmud Yerushalmi, my time means what's the source? Why does Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira say you should specify the details? So he says, what do you mean? Look at Chere Ega. Look how Moshe Rabbeinu gets into the details. Moshe uses many lashonos trying to express what Klal Yisrael did wrong, and he gets into the details of what they did wrong. Says the Gemara, Ma Ovid Le Rabbi Akiva. What does Rabbi Akiva say about that? Rabbi Akiva says, no, you're reading the pasuk wrong. That pasuk is Hashem talking. It's Hashem saying, Mi Garam Lahem, what caused the Chet HaEgel? Hashem, as it were, is confessing, Ani. I gave the Jewish people too much money. And if you give Jews too much money, they're going to spend it in the wrong way. There's a Yerushalmi in Shkolim that says, Jews are funny people. When they have a lot of money, so they'll give to really good causes and they'll give to really bad causes. Right? There are people who like to give. So maybe it's better we shouldn't have so much money. The Gemara says we do better. The Gemara in Avodah Zarah says we do better when we're poor in general. It's less of an Yisrael than being rich. So it's Hashem. Rabbi Akiva says, no, that's not Moshe confessing, getting into the details. It's Hashem lamenting the fact that I caused Klal Yisrael to sin by giving them too much wealth. In the Talmud Bavli, in the Babylonian edition of the Talmud, in source number 7, again, the Machlokas, Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira and Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira says, Tzarech lifrot es achet, and he quotes the same pasuk. And Rabbi Akiva, where it's bolded in source number 7, says, I disagree. Don't get into the details. Rather, like David HaMelech said, Ashrei Nisui Pesha, happy is the one whose transgression is forgiven, Kisui Chata'a, whose sin is covered over. And that's not just Hashem covering your sin, you should cover your sins. Stay away from the details. Rabbi Kiva wants us to stay away from the details. Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira says, confess, get into the details, talk about the specifics of what went wrong. And Rabbi Akiva says one does not have permission to go into the details. So those are their shitas. And now we have to figure out why. Why did Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira say you should get into the details? And why is Rabbi Akiva protecting us, so to speak, from getting into those details? So perhaps we can gain insight from one more passage in the Talmud Yerushalmi, a piece in Maseches Nedarim. Okay? And I know there's a lot of pieces here. There's going to be a lot of pieces on the table. But if you could follow it through, you'll see a beautiful mahalach. And you'll see the brilliance of the Lubavitch Rebbe. And you'll be able to say thank you to Rabbi Akiva for being such a Rebbe amongst Klal Yisrael. The Talmud Yerushalmi in Maseches Nedarim in source number 8. Hanoder hanaya mechavero befanav. What happens if a person takes a neder? Hanoder, a person takes a neder. I take a vow, an oath, to refrain from getting any hanaya, from getting benefit from my friend. And I say it while the person is present. Very hurtful, right? I'm swearing I don't want to have anything to do with this guy. I don't want to have any pleasure from him. I don't want to invite him to my house for meals. I don't want to be invited to his house for meals. I don't want to have anything to do with him. I want no hanaya. I want no benefit from him. Lo yishal lo ela b'fanav. So says the first opinion in the Gemara. If you swore him off to his face, well, when you go to the Beis Din to have your neder revoked, undone, you also have to bring this guy along. The same way that you started the process in front of him, you have to undo your neder in front of him. Again, hanoder hanoy mechavero befanov. I committed myself, if I took an oath not to benefit from this person in his presence, lo yishas the Beis Din to undo my neder, ela befanov. Unless he's present. Shelo b'fanav. But if I made the neder not in his presence, then nish'alin lo bein b'fanav bein shelo b'fanav. Then I can ask my rabbi to free me from the neder, whether he's present or not. Why is that so? If I took the neder in front of him, why do I need to bring him along in order to beg mechila, so to speak, from the Beis Din to release me from my vow? Why do I need to bring this fellow along? It's a machlokas. Rabbi Yochanan Amar Bipnei HaBusha. Rabbi Yochanan says, because of embarrassment. You embarrassed him. This is presumably the Pasha Pshan of the Gemara. You embarrassed him when you swore him off to his face. So now when you go crying to Beis Din that you want to undo your vow, and you're going to be embarrassed now, so let him watch you embarrass yourself now. Mida keneged mida. Bipnei HaBusha. You embarrassed him. You did something that was insensitive to him. So now, when you're going through this embarrassing process of explaining to the Beis Din why you changed your mind, so let him watch you. Let him watch you stumble over your words in front of the Beis Din. Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi Amar, Mipnei HaChashad. Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi says, the reason is because of suspicion. What does that mean? We're nervous that if, let's say, we'll call the guy who took the neder, we'll call him Reuven, and the one who was taken about, we'll say, is Shimon. So if Reuven said, I take a neder not to benefit from Shimon. So now imagine if he goes and gets that neder canceled, not in the presence of Shimon. And then he starts hanging out with Shimon again. What's Shimon going to say about Reuven? This guy doesn't keep his oaths. He's not a serious Jew. And if he doesn't keep a neder that he took, maybe he doesn't keep other things. I saw him take the neder. He doesn't know that he was released from the neder. So says Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, the reason that he needs to bring the fellow along is so that the person who took the neder shouldn't be suspect of not being an observant Jew. It's going to look bad for that individual. Okay. So according to Rabbi Yochanan, we're concerned about the sort of mida keneged mida, the relationship. You heard him, so now you have to embarrass yourself in front of him. And according to Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, we're concerned about what? The reputation of the one who took the neder. Because if he starts hanging out with Shimon and people don't realize it, it's going to look bad. It's going to look like Reuven's not a serious Jew. And then the Gemara says, and this machlokas is related to the machlokas Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira and Rabbi Akiva. This machlokus is like the machlokus about how to confess on Yom Kippurim. That Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira says you should specify your averos, and Rabbi Akiva says you shouldn't. How do you put them together? Tosfos and Meseches Gittin on Daf Lamed puts it together for us and expands upon it, but I think we can figure it out ourselves. Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira, who said what? That you should specify your averos, which is a very embarrassing process, is like the opinion of Rabbi Yochanan, who says you did an avera in an embarrassing way. You swore off this guy, pleasure, getting any benefit from this guy in a public way. You embarrassed him. So now you have to embarrass yourself. And Rabbi Akiva, who says, don't say too much on Yom Kippurim. Rabbi Akiva, who's trying to protect a person's reputation, is like Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi in that Yerushalmi in the Darim, who's trying to protect the person's reputation. That people shouldn't think that Reuven isn't serious in his commitments, in the nedarim that he takes. Okay, so now we've established a link, again, between this Yerushalmi in nedarim and our machlokas, Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira and Rabbi Akiva. But again, all that has done for us is clarified the fact that Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira puts shame in the tshuva process as a greater value than reputation, and Rabbi Akiva says, I favor one's reputation over the embarrassment, which would be a benefit in the tshuva process. And the question again is why? Why is Rabbi Akiva so interested in protecting our reputation? And why does Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira say, forget your reputation, come clean before God, confess to everything, put it all out on the table. It's embarrassing, too bad. The same way you embarrassed the guy when you took the neder. I keep looking here as if the guy's over here, I'm not sure why I'm looking over here. But the same way you embarrassed the guy when you took the neder, you need to confess in a way that embarrasses yourself. So good, so you sinned before God. So now you have to embarrass yourself. Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira values the experience of embarrassing yourself over one's reputation. And Rabbi Akiva says, no. I choose reputation over the shame that comes from that more detailed confession. And the question again is why? So the Bavitcheri develops an amazing idea. In life, we all have conflicts of present and past also versus future. Let's talk about present versus future. Let's think of a few examples. I'll give you a few halachic examples where we have a conflict of my present situation versus a possible future situation. I'll give you a simple example, and then I'll give you a couple halachic examples. A simple example. I have $100 in my pocket, and I know that there's someone who comes to me and says, I could use some money. I need some money. I wish you could help me. Now, I also know there might be other people who need money. This fellow says, I really need $100. It's a desperate situation. So I can think to myself, well, I could do the mitzvah right now. I can give him $100 right now. But I'm a pretty savvy guy. You know, I could probably, if he gives me a couple months, I could turn $100 with a little investing into $250. So should I give the $100 now, which will help this one individual? Or maybe I should say, you know what? I'm sorry, I have to deny you in the present, because I have to consider the greater possibility in the future. Right? What's the right mahalach? It's not a simple question. Let me give you a few halachic examples of this. One that actually took place this week. Not that anyone that I know experienced this, but it's a question that was nogeya to Tzom Gedalia. There's a sefer called O.L. Moshe. And in Siman Tes Zayin, he discusses the following question. If a person knows that if they fast on Tzom Gedalia, they're not going to be healthy enough to fast on Yom Kippur, what should they do? Fascinating question. The Eish El Avram, the Rebbe of Buchach in the back of the Shulchan Aruch, also in Siman Tov Reish Beis discusses it. The Stei Chemed discusses it. What should you do? Right now, I have an obligation to fast on Tzom Gedalia. But I know that if I fast now, I'm going to be too knocked out to fast on Yom Kippur. So should I say, I'll pass on Tzom Gedalia, I'll choose the bigger of the two, I'll save my energy for Yom Kippur? Or no, right now I fast on Tzom Gedalia because that's the mitzvah in front of me. And if it turns out that I'm sickly on Yom Kippur, then the halacha says you're allowed to eat on Yom Kippur if you're sickly. What should a person do? Yeah, but here we're dealing with the present, we're dealing with the future. It's not, you don't have the two mitzvahs in front of you. That's why it's such a fascinating shaila.
You have a mitzvah right now at your hand, I'm giving you an example.
Okay, good. So you passing like the Stei Chemed, and you passing like the Eish El Avram, which is, right now is Tzom Gedalia. What right do I have to skip over Tzom Gedalia? I'll deal with Yom Kippur when I get there. That seems to be the consensus of the poskim. That right now I should fast on Tzom Gedalia, and we'll deal with Yom Kippur. We'll see how it plays out. If I'm not able to fast on Yom Kippur, then I'll be putter from fasting on Yom Kippur. I'll give you another example. The Shulchan Aruch discusses, what if a person is going to join a caravan of people traveling through the desert on a Sunday? Now he knows that when Shabbos comes around, he's going to ask them, can we please stop traveling for Shabbos? And the Gentiles, who are the majority of the caravan, are going to say no. So what option does he have? He's going to get off the caravan and stay in the middle of the desert by himself? Well, that's pikuach nefesh. But the question is, can he get on the caravan now on Sunday, knowing that it's very likely he's going to have to use the excuse of pikuach nefesh by the time Saturday comes around, right? To say, oh, now it's Shabbos, but I can't stay in the desert, so I guess I'm allowed to just continue traveling on this wagon because of pikuach nefesh. Can he board the boat now? Can he board the caravan now to travel through the desert if it's going to create a chil Shabbos problem later? It's a discussion in the poskim. How about a person goes outside? The Truma Sedeshin, Rabbi Saul Isserlin, discusses this shaila. Person goes outside, Simon Laman Hay, goes outside, he sees a beautiful moon. Oh, Kiddush Levana, but it's a Wednesday. I should probably wait till Motzei Shabbos, where I'm wearing my Shabbos finery, to do Kiddush Levana, wearing my Big Day Shabbos. But wait, what if by Motzei Shabbos it's cloudy? Then I lost out on the mitzvah. The Truma Sedeshin says, well, it depends. If you have enough days, right? I mean, he was living in a time before there was a weather forecast. Right? But if you have a bunch of days, you can risk it. If it's down to the wire, maybe don't risk it. Maybe take the opportunity as it presents itself now. How about the machlokas between, or the conflict that exists between hidur mitzvah and zrizin makdimin lemitzvah? What if I have the opportunity early in the morning to shake a lulav and esrog, but I know that someone's coming that afternoon with the most beautiful esrog in the world? Hidur mitzvah. So should I seize the opportunity now? Is reason makdimin lemitzvos, do the mitzvah at the earlier opportunity? Or should I delay the mitzvah to try to get the nicer mitzvah, so to speak, in the afternoon? It comes up all the time with regard to a bris milah. Should I have a bris milah at the earliest opportunity on the eighth day? Vayashkem avim b'boker, is reason makdimin lemitzvos? Or should I say, no, my family is going to travel from a distance. It'll be a bigger simcha and a bigger hiddur mitzvah in a certain sense if we wait till the afternoon. So maybe we should do the bris milah in the afternoon. So very often in life, and again, it applies in many areas of halacha, we have a conflict between where I am right now and the future. And I'm not sure to what degree I could take the future into consideration in determining the present. Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira says, we need to look at the present. Right now, you have averus. Right now, you need to confess before God. And the best way for you to have a heartfelt confession before Hashem is to what? Is to put it all out there. Rabbi Akiva, on the other hand, if you shul and you start saying, I did this, and I did this, and I did that, and the guy davening next to you says, whoa, I'm not going to that house anymore. I'm not, right? He's confessing that I ate not kosher this past year. This guy's the kosher butcher in town. I'm not buying by him anymore. So Rabbi Akiva says, don't get into the details now because of the ramifications of a person's future. Maybe that's the machlokas between, says Lubavitch Rebbe, maybe that's the machlokas between Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira and Rabbi Akiva. How much do I allow the present future to conflict? Right? Do I consider the future in determining how I act in the present? The problem is, says Lubavitcher Rebbe, according to that, then Rabbi Akiva should allow us to at least confess quietly. I can't out loud declare, display all my sins. Right? That's going to ruin my reputation. They're going to run me out of town. But why can't I confess before Hashem with all the details privately? And Lubavitcher Rebbe, it's going to be a little lengthy to prove it at this point, but Lubavitcher Rebbe proves that Rabbi Akiva's shita of Ein Tzarech Lifrot Es Maisav means you're not allowed to get into the details. Rabbi Akiva says, not out loud, and not in a private confession. Not in a silent confession. Not even in an undertone. Like it says in the Archul Siddur, this part said in an undertone. You can't say the detailed confession even in an undertone. So it must be, says Lubavitcher Rebbe, that Rabbi Akiva's shita about not confessing to the details, it's something more than just saving one's reputation. It must be more than just that simple comparison that we made to the Talmud Yerushalmi, right, about the busha versus the chashad, about the embarrassment versus the reputation. It must be that there's something more. And the Lubavitcher Rebbe comes to the following yisod. Take a look at source number 9. We know that Chazal speak about two ways of doing tshuva. There's the lower level called tshuva meyira, and there's a higher level called tshuva me'ava. The Gemara says in Yoma Pevav Mudbez, Amar Eish Lakish, Gidola Tshuva, great is Tshuva, Shezidonos Nasalo Kishkagos. Tshuva is such an amazing thing that it turns your willful Averos into accidental Averos. But then the Gemara says, wait a minute. The same Reish Lakish taught us that what? That tshuva is so great it could turn an aveira into a mitzvah. Says the Gemara, it's not a problem. Lo kasha. Kan me'ava, kan me'yira. When a person does tshuva me'yira, it lowers the severity of the aveira. When a person does tshuva me'ava, it mamish wipes the slate clean and turns your aveira into a mitzvah. We see that there's something called tshuva me'yira, tshuva me'ava. This is just one Gemara that highlights that tshuva me'ava is a much greater level than tshuva me'yira. Says Lubavitcher, what is tshuva me'ava? What motivates tshuva me'yira? What motivates tshuva me'ava? What motivates tshuva me'yira? Why does a person do tshuva out of fear? Well, I read through the Bible. God sometimes is a pretty angry God. A kel kana, a vengeful God. I don't want to be the recipient of his wrath. So I'm going to do tshuva. I don't want to get punished. And if I have some schar, if I have some prizes coming to me, I don't want to lose those prizes. I don't want to lose my rewards. So tshuva me'yira is inspired by a fear of punishment, a fear of losing out on my schar. It's sort of a business relationship. I have points. I have checks and I have X's, and I want to make sure that I can maintain a balance in my business relationship with God. That's tshuva me'yira. What's tshuva me'ava? Tshuva me'ava is a person who says, Ribbono Sholem, I'm not a child. I'm not so petty. It's not just about getting rewards or punishments, getting prizes or getting a patch from the Ribbono Sholem. I'm pained by the fact that our relationship is not what it's supposed to be. I'm pained by the distance between us. And as the Baal HaTanya explains, you can look at Perek Chaf, the Baal HaTanya explains, if you're a tshuva me'yira type of Jew, you'll understand that any bit of distance is too much. Our relationship is supposed to be with HaKadosh Baruch Hu the closest relationship possible. Closer than parent and child, closer than husband and wife, closer than two best friends. And therefore, if there's even the slightest pagam, the slightest crack, if something's a little bit off, the slightest misstep or betrayal of that relationship is a huge deal to a tshuva me'ava type of person. I don't care about one more prize or one more punishment. I care about the fact that if our relationship is not as perfect as it could be or should be, that pains me deeply. So when a person does tshuva me'yira, they're very detail-oriented, right? They're negotiating. Well, you know, this aver wasn't so big, so I shouldn't get that much of a punishment, and that mitzvah was, you know, worth a lot of points, so that should cancel out. And the person, it's a whole, you know, it's the scales. It's the picture of the scales, right? More mitzvahs on, some averus off. It's a business relationship. And when you're doing business, you know, you got to make sure you put the decimal plate in the right spot. Right? Otherwise, a $100,000 deal becomes a $1 million deal. You got to make sure that the books add up. It's all about the details. It's all about the precise accounting. When a person is a tshuva me'ava type of Jew, right? It's about the forest. It's not about the individual trees. I'm not interested in the details. I'm interested in the bigger picture of our relationship. And any deviance from the Dvar Hashem, anything that's a little bit off, the slightest crack in our relationship, is a big deal to me. It says in the Baba Trevi, maybe that's where the present and the future conflict and express themselves within the Shita of Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira and Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira says, Halavai, we should be tshuva me'yira types of Jews. Let's be realistic. Tshuva me'ava, do we really care about our relationship with Hashem in that way, that we're so sabrachin over the slightest little mistake that we've done? More or less, we're negotiating because, you know, it's a business relationship. Not that we don't value the relationship, but there's a lot of negotiating during these days. You know, Hashem, last year Parnassa wasn't as good as 2018, so, you know, maybe we can step it up a little bit. And I remember I was a little bit more sick this year, I was a little healthier last year. There's a lot of negotiating. And Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira says, right now that's where most people are holding. So if that's where you're holding, if you're holding in a place of details, so your tshuva has to reflect that. Get into the details. Talk about the details. Rabbi Akiva says, I'm also realistic. I know that most Jews right now, in the present, halavai, our starting point is tshuva me'yira. Halavai, we should care about the details of what went right and what went wrong. That we're paying attention to the mitzvahs we did and the averus we did. Halavai, says Rabbi Akiva. But Rabbi Akiva, the person maybe more than any other rabbi in the entire Gemara, in the entire Mishnaic literature. Rabbi Akiva, who nearly 2,000 years ago walked this earth. And we'll come back to the Gemara and Makos in just a moment. Rabbi Akiva was a person of unbelievable vision. Rabbi Akiva says, I know right now, halavai, you're a tshuva meyira type of Jew, but guess what? At your core, deep down inside, at the essence of who you are, you're a tshuva me'ava type of Jew. You're not a child. You're going to mature one day, over the course of a lifetime. It doesn't matter where you're holding right now. Your soul will reach a spiritual point of perfection where you could care less about rewards and punishments. That all you care about is what? Is the fact that I want to be close to the Borei Olam. So Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira looks at the now, and Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira says, right now, Basher Husham, this is where you're holding. Right now, halavai, you're a detail-oriented person in your Avodas Hashem. You care about the times you came late to davening. You feel that you deserve to be rewarded for the times that you pushed yourself to do a little extra. And, okay, so since you're living in the details, so your tshuva has to reflect that. Rabbi Akiva says, it's true, you're living in the details right now. But Rabbi Akiva says, I see where a Jew is more checks and X's. Maybe it's points, it's rewards and punishment. But I know if I could just dig deep down to the core of who a Jew is, there's this deep, raw regret of being distant from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That relationship is much more important at the core of a Jew, in one's heart of hearts, that I feel terrible that someone who loves me as much as HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and someone who in my heart of hearts I love as much as I love HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when my heart's in the right place, when my soul is properly oriented, I feel terrible that I damaged the relationship. I'm much more interested in the big picture. Rabbi Akiva says, stay away from the details. You're hindering your relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu when you get trapped amongst the trees and you lose sight of the big picture, you lose sight of the forest. The tshuva me'av, a relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And now we come back to the Gemara in Machlokes. The Roman legions are enjoying their success. Rabbi Akiva and his chaverim see a fox roaming around on the Kodesh Kadashim. All of the Tanaim knew, says the Lubavitcher Rebbe, everyone knew how a Jew is supposed to think. It's actually Rabbi Akiva's statement in the Gemara in Brachos Daf Samach that everything that Hashem does is for the good. We know it. We have it on our bumper stickers. Right? We have it. I don't know. We know what to say. We know the right thing. Kol Masha'osa Kodesh Baruch Hu Hakol Letova. It's not on the page in front of you. It's a Gemara in Brachos Samach Amud Beis. Everything Hashem does, Hakol Letova. It's even a halacha in Shulchan Aruch. And I can tell you that 1400 years before the Shulchan Aruch was written, all the Tanaim, Rabbi Gamliel, Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, Rabbi Yeshua, they all knew the halacha. You'll be surprised that it's a halacha. Look it up. Chapter 230 of the Shulchan Aruch. Or Achayim Reish Lamed Sifhei. It says, a person should train himself to say, Rabbi Akiva's statement in Aramaic, the way it's often quoted, Kol ma da'avid rachmana, whatever the merciful one does, litav avid. Everything Hashem does is good. We all know how to say that. When they saw the fox roaming on the Temple Mount, they also knew, yeah, it's good. But they were crying because right now it's not so good. Right now there's a fox in Kodesh Kedoshim. There was one tzaddik, there was one Tana who had a vision, who was able to see, not just to know in his heart of hearts, to be able to look beyond physical reality and to live in the future and to be able to see in the hardship, I see the redemption. I see it with my own eyes. I can see the redemption taking place before my eyes. Why did his contemporaries only say, Akiva Nicham Tanu, Akiva Nicham Tanu, in the second story? Why, when Rabbi Akiva said, oh, if the Romans are having such success, we're also going to have great success. When Rabbi Akiva tried to explain that to his friends, they couldn't get it. They knew it. They knew it intellectually, but they couldn't feel it and they couldn't see it. The second story, when he explains to them, the psukim, that they're able to see. When he says, look, the pasuk says there's going to be foxes roaming the Temple Mount, and look, it's happening. When he showed it to them in the text, when he showed them a pasuk, and they were able to catch a glimpse of the nevuah itself before their eyes, not some far-flung promise that, well, if their bad guys had success, then we'll have success. They couldn't grasp that. But when he showed them the nevuah unfolding in some small capacity before their eyes, a glimpse, he saw the whole thing. But when he was able to show his friends a glimpse of the nevuah, they were able to say, Akiva Nicham Tanu, at least you comforted us. We're not ready to laugh with you. We don't see the whole picture of the Geula. Rabbi Akiva saw the whole picture of Geula. And therefore Rabbi Akiva says to a Jew, when you come to Yom Kippur, maybe we do like Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira, Achet Shechatanu, Achet Shechatanu, Ashalnu, Bagalnu, Gazalnu, we do a lot of details. But we have to take Rabbi Akiva to Yom Kippur also. We have to ask ourselves on Yom Kippur, am I a Tshuva Meira detail-oriented Jew? And the answer is, yes, I am. But I want to be a Tshuva Me'ava type of Jew. I want to be a Jew who's much more interested in the big picture. And the Lubavitcher Rebbe concludes his amazing presentation with one final point. Lubavitcher Rebbe says, and look how a person is molded by their life experience. Let's think about Rabbi Akiva. Where was he coming from? And how did he become so future-oriented in his thinking? And who were the other people he was traveling with? Rabbi Akiva, we know from the Seder Hadoros, we have sources that tell us Rabbi Akiva was what? A descendant of converts. Rabbi Akiva struggled in his early years to take interest in Torah. A convert doesn't have a past in terms of his Yiddishkeit. He's not able to look back and say, Dore Doros, my Zayda, my great-grandfather, my great-great-grandfather. He can only look forward. He can only say, I'm the starting point, and from here we build forward. His pedigree is the fact that he's adopted a Kodesh Baruch Hu as his own. That's the world view of the convert and the Baal Tshuva. He looks forward. Rabbi Gamliel, who he was traveling with, was from Beis David. Rabbi Lazar ben Azariah was a Kohen. Rabbi Yeshua was a Levi. These were very distinguished people. They had a lot of history, a lot of Jewish history in their own personal lives. And their ties to their past make it difficult for them to be able to see the future. But Rabbi Akiva, whose whole world is the convert, who's able to look towards the future. That's why the Torah speaks so lovingly of the convert, because they have such a Mashiach Dika perspective. Rabbi Akiva was able to darshan the crowns in the Gemara and Menachos on top of the letters. How do you read crowns? It doesn't say anything. In Rabbi Akiva's eyes, it said something. He saw messages in everything. And we turn to the final source. When Rabbi Akiva was an illiterate shepherd at the age of 40, and he comes across a rock, and he notices that a steady stream of water has bored a hole through the rock. And Rabbi Akiva says, Avos Terbi Nasan, Ma Hayat Chilasos Rabbi Akiva. He was 40 years old. He hadn't learned to stitch. Pam Achas Haya Omid Al Pia Be'er. And he asked, Mi Chokok Evin Zo? Where did this hole in the rock come from? Amru lo, hamayim shetadir noflim aleh b'chol yom. It's that steady stream of water that drips on it every day. Amru lo, Akiva, don't you know the pasuk in Eov? Forget that you don't know science. You don't know. You can't figure it out. Don't you know the pasuk says in Eov, avanim shachu mayim, that water can wear away a rock. And Rabbi Akiva decided right then and there, I don't care what my past has been until I'm 40 years old. You know how courageous he had to be to shift gears at age 40? And to chart a path toward the future and to become such a leader. The backbone of Torah Shabbat Peh, Rabbi Akiva. Miyad hai Rabbi Akiva don kavachomer ba'atzmo. Rabbi Akiva said to himself, if a rock, which is so kashe, could be broken through with water, then my heart can also be softened. And Rabbi Akiva decided to embarrass himself, to sit with kindergartners, and he was able to see past all of those struggles. As difficult as it was going to be to turn things around at age 40, he didn't care. He saw into the future. He saw Rabbi Akiva v'talmidav. He saw changing the face of Torah forever. He had the eyes of the future and he chose to change his life. And that's why we bring Rabbi Akiva, the master of tshuva, into our Yom Kippur experience. He has the last word in Maseches Yoma. Ashreichem Yisrael. Lifnei mi atem metar, mi metar eschem, avichem shava shamayim. Yom Kippur is that mikvah, where a Jew, what? Immerses himself in a Kodesh Baruch Hu and says, forget all the details. Let's get back to the essence of what this whole thing is supposed to be. So, Mirtz Hashem, we come to Yom Kippur in a couple of days. Let's hold on. Again, we may be doing a lot of clapping, a lot of alchets, and a lot of ashamnu. We got a lot of details. But let's remember how Rabbi Akiva had the eyes of the future. And let's focus on that loving relationship that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to have with each of us. And if we seek it out, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will seek us out, and we'll all be zocha to Gemar Chasimah Tovah.